This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to be able to share with others what God has done in our lives. It's the power of a testimony. And I want to share a little bit about something the Lord laid in my heart, but I want us just to pray before we start. Father, we thank you that we can be here. As we sang earlier, Lord, with a desire, Lord, to not just meet with you, but to be changed by you. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that as we spend time in your word, that you will reveal more of yourself to us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you a well-known scripture in Galatians chapter 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I want us maybe just to close our eyes for a moment. Just meditate upon that. What does that mean? And maybe in your mind's eye, if you can see that. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. My question would be, what do you see? There's two powerful realities in this portion of Scripture. First is that we have life because of the Spirit. And for those of us who believe, we have life because of the Spirit. And we'll look into that in a moment. But then also, it says there's something more than just having life because of the Spirit. It says that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Let's start with the first concept. What does it mean to have life through the Spirit? I think the obvious and the most powerful concept around this is the fact that when we responded to God's grace, when we responded to the gospel, and we bowed our knee and we made God king, We surrendered our life. We came to a point of repentance in humility, acknowledging our sin and that we're in need of a Savior. And we need Him to come into our life to forgive us, to redeem us, to give us life. It's at that point of surrender in faith and humility to God when we accept His word concerning His Son, that He was sent to save us, and that we heal ourselves to His authority and His life, that He comes into us. And something amazing happens. We are born again. We become a new creation. We get sealed by the Spirit of God for eternity. And so we have life because of the Spirit. And so this portion of Scripture is addressed to those who already have life because of God. And it says that those who live by the Spirit should also keep in step with the Spirit. And that leaves us not just with two realities, but also the challenge that it is possible to live by the Spirit and not be in step with the Spirit. And so therefore the Word encourages us that those who live by the Spirit should also be in step with the Spirit. You see, salvation is not just an event. Salvation is not just an event that took place many years ago when I surrendered my life. Salvation is the start of a relationship with God. A relationship with God that has a clear plan for man and eternity, of which I have the privilege to be part of now. God has a clear plan, and he gave His Spirit with a clear purpose. It was not without purpose, but with a clear plan in mind. And that we see throughout Scripture, right, from the beginning of Genesis to Revelations, we see that God is moving. God has a plan and God has a purpose for humanity. And everything that He does according to that. We just heard when Desiree shared that word concerning Exodus and God revealing His plan. I mean, that plan was already revealed to Abram, the father of faith. Even before Isaac was born, He said that your children will be in Egypt for 400 years. I mean, it's part of the plan. God has a plan. The Holy Spirit was given with that purpose, and we who live because of this purpose are also called to keep in step with Him. And see, this concept of keeping in step with communicates movement. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is moving somewhere. And He says those who live because of the Spirit should also keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit is moving. I remember as a young child in primary school, we had an Assemblies of God headmaster in a very conservative community. And he really shared the gospel with us so powerfully through the way he lived and the songs that we sang in school. I remember one of the songs we sang, I don't know if you know it, it goes like, "The Spirit is moving all over the world. The Spirit is moving." Remember that song? I don't know if you know that song. But the point is, the Spirit is moving, and God is saying, I want you to keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, I want you to align yourself with where I am going. And so this morning, I want us to explore that. What does this mean? Because the Spirit does not move aimlessly, but purposefully according to the will of the Father. You know, we read then in Romans 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." As many as are led. Being led means you are not the leader. Being led means you are following. And I think that is a great challenge for us modern Christians. We live in a society where it's all about me, myself, and I. And then sometimes we kind of spiritualize that by referring it to my calling, my destiny, and my purpose. And we are still the center of the universe. We just spiritualized it. But I've realized that in my relationship with God, it starts with me bowing my knee and making Him king. I mean, I'm no longer the master of my own soul. I no longer belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. And God is moving somewhere, and He leads us. That's why He says, "I am the shepherd. I go before the sheep." Not like the modern shepherds that chase their sheep. The Eastern shepherds walks before their sheep, speak to them, sings to them, and the sheep follow. And so being led implies that I am not the leader. I'm not the one that determined the direction. I'm the one who follows. And here again it says we should not just keep in step with, but we should be led by the Holy Spirit. And so what does it mean? It means we do not determine the direction or the destination. Someone else does. And it thus requires us to surrender and trust the leader, the one who leads. We need to be obedient to the will of the leader. So by keeping in step is not just moving in the same direction, it is actually conforming in unity with that direction. And that's the challenge with this word in Greek, being not just led, but keep in step with. I have a little video clip of what it literally means in Greek. In Greek, it means to be in rows, to walk by rule, to march in military rank. It says, when it says keep in step with, it is actually not what we mostly see when we close our eyes, that we are walking with Jesus or with the Spirit together somewhere. It's something far bigger. It is being in a military rank, marching together in perfect unity with the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is going somewhere, but it's not just about me. It's not about me. It's like when, I don't know if you were in the army, remember when we were taught to march, it said, "Rig op die rechterflank, voorwaarts, mars," in perfect unity. It's like we take our aim of those greater than ourselves, those who have authority over us. So we align ourselves with the Spirit, and we are meant to walk in step with. In other words, not just in the same direction, but in perfect unity with the Spirit. That's why the Word of God encourages us as believers, those of us who have life should also live, not just in and through, but keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is moving somewhere. He is marching. He has a plan. God has a plan for humanity. And he's going. The marching orders has been given. And we, the children of God, are called to fall into rank. To come into step with where the Spirit of God is going. And so the Lord encourages us. So how do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? I think the first step would be to know His purpose. Why was the Holy Spirit given? If you know His purpose, you will know in which direction He's going. The first way to keep in step with is to at least start to move in the same direction. Because He might be going this way and we'll be going this way with our life. And so the first step to come in step with the Holy Spirit is to move in the same direction. I don't know if you've seen I didn't want to do that. Show the clip of the policeman at the funeral. That's what it means not to be in step, but I thought not to show that. Sometimes we think we stand in line, but we're not moving in the same direction. It's quite embarrassing if you don't. Like those policemen and the rest of us in South Africa experienced. So the first step is to move in the same direction, to at least go in the same way, because once you go in the same way, you can actually start to move in step with, to be in unity with where the Holy Spirit is going. So what is His purpose? What would help us to know the direction that He's moving in is if we understand why He came in the first place. The Holy Spirit came to reveal, first and foremost, more of who God is. He came to be our helper, our mentor. When Jesus left, He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. But when I go, the helper will come. And He will continue to reveal God to you. In the way I have revealed God to you, He will continue to do that. So one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in the earth, in our lives today, is to reveal who God is. Another purpose of the Holy Spirit is to change us, to become more like God. That is the fruit of the Spirit in us. When our character is changed to become more like God, that is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, is not just to reveal who God is, but to change us to become more like Christ. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit is a character change that takes place within us because of the Holy Spirit within us. And then the third reason that the Holy Spirit came was to empower us to do the will of God. That is the gifts of the Spirit. The prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the miracles, the healings, all the gifts are meant to make us effective witnesses. That's what Jesus said. He said, but you must not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes, because when He comes, He will empower you to be witnesses. You see, I have a plan for humanity. My plan is not your salvation. My plan is the salvation of humanity. And as much as I love you, I have a plan to save many more like you. That's my heart. That's my purpose. I did not send my son. Jesus did not send His son to die for Andries. He didn't. He sent it for whosoever believes. He sent it for the whole of the world. I'm just privileged to be part of it. But He didn't come for me. Jesus did not die for Andries. He died for the church. He gave His life for the church, who is everyone who chooses to respond to Him. He's not coming back for Andries either. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for His bride. That's the plan. I am not the plan. I'm not the plan. God loves me. He knows me. And I have the privilege to be part of the greater plan. But His plan was not to save Andries. His plan was to save humanity. For whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. It's for the church. God gave Himself for the church. And the climax of history is when Jesus returns for His bride, who is the church. All of us together. Not just here today, but all over the world, those who believe. That's God's plan. I just have the privilege to be part of this plan. But I'm not significant. Apart from that plan, I find my purpose and significance within that plan, but not outside of it. And if I do not respond to God's grace, the plan will continue. I discovered I am not the center of the universe. And God doesn't need me to do anything. God doesn't need me to do what he's doing in Hermanus. He doesn't need me what he's doing in our church. He can do it with anyone else. I'm just privileged enough to be part of that, that he chose to use me, and I'm grateful for that, but it's not about me. It has always been about him. And so if we want to keep in step with him, we need to not just live because of him, we need to align ourselves with the greater plan and purpose. And that's what I believe God is calling us to. When he says, those who live by the Spirit must also keep in step with the Spirit. That is the direction that he is moving. And if you want to be in step with the Holy Spirit, we need to first start to move in his direction. The next step would be to hear his voice. And how do we hear his voice? One can say a lot about that, but I don't have that much time. In John 10, verse 21, verse 27, we hear Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just three things there. God speaks, we can hear, and we should follow. I guess that's the basics. God speaks, we can hear, and we should follow. God speaks to us all the time. But we don't always listen with the intent to hear. Other times we do not hear because of all the noise and other voices around us. And if we had time, there's a lot that one can say about that. But there are many different ways that God speaks to us. Practically, now, here, today, how God speaks to us. God speaks to us in that still, small voice. God speaks to us through dreams and visions. God speaks to us through the prophetic word. God speaks to us through angels and other ways. But mostly, God speaks to us through his word. It is so powerful to see how God speaks to us in so many different ways, but the one that is the most secure, the one that I have the most confidence in, is the word of God. It has been given to us, recorded by the Holy Spirit, and preserved for us so that we may know the will of God. If you want to know who God is and what his heart is and what his purpose and will is, it's in the Bible. It is, as a matter of fact, all the other ways that God speaks to us, we use the word to test it, to make sure that it was actually God. This still small voice, this dream, this vision. Was it indeed God? Well, you go back to the Bible, because God says, I will never contradict my word. And so this becomes the litmus test of all the ways we think God has spoken to us. It will always align with the word. Everything you need to know about God and God's will is recorded for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the word and has been preserved for us. Once I was preparing a sermon concerning hearing God's voice, and as I was preparing, I just believe God asked me this question. He asked me two questions, and I'll just share the one. He said, why do you want me to say something new if you're not willing to listen to what I've already said? Why is our desire in hearing my voice to hear me say something new, but you're not willing to listen to what I've already said? And so I realized that hearing God's voice starts with what he's already said. As a matter of fact, the most important things that God wants to say to us, he has already said 2,000 years ago. Everything that we need for life and godliness is already given us. If we're just willing to follow this, it will keep us busy for the rest of our life. And it's so powerful, as more we are obedient to what he has already said, it is in that place that I find my purpose, my significance, and so powerfully hear his voice so clearly, far more than all the other ways. Why do you want me to say something new if you're not willing to obey what I've already said? And I've realized something important. That God has already said everything that he wanted to say. And it's only from that that he will add the application of it. but not some. If Jesus was here today, if Jesus was preaching today, would he be sharing something new? Or would he simply go back to the scriptures and reveal to us again what God has already said? The Holy Spirit came to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said. We read it in John 14. But when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will not reveal new things to us. But first we need to obey what God has already said, because that's the most important. You know, Hebrews 1 says something powerful. Hebrews 1 from verse 1, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Two things. In times past, in many ways, in different times, God spoke to us through the prophets. That was the time past. But in these last days, who of you believe we live in the last days? He says, in these last days, I've spoken through my Son. And then he continues to explain how great Jesus is, far greater than all the prophets, the angels, and everything that was ever created. And then, after he's explained how great Jesus is, it starts with this favorite word, my favorite English word in the Bible, therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. You see what is the challenging thing of the modern church today is how many people run to prophets. They fly to America or to Africa to hear the prophets speak. We go all over the world for the something new. And God says, I've done that in the past. And I'm not saying God cannot speak through the prophetic and that he still does, absolutely. But the most important things that God wanted to say, he already said through his Son. Therefore, we should take closer attention to what he has said, what we have heard, lest we drift away. See, I found that Christians don't backslide suddenly. They drift away. They drift away when we no longer listen to what God has already said. And we start to follow all kinds of other stuff, whether it's new revelations or our own desires or our own pleasures. We drift away when we don't take to heart what God has already said. When we don't ally ourselves and keep in step with what God's purpose and plan is for humanity, of which we have the privilege to be part of. It's when I align myself within his purpose and his significance that I find my own purpose. It's not outside of that. It's when I keep in step with the Holy Spirit that I find what I'm looking for, if what I'm looking for is my own significance and purpose and identity. Ach, and the closer you come to this, you will find it's not about you anyway. It's not about me. It's about him. It's all about him. It's for his glory. Isn't that Jesus' life? It's not about his will. He didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Father. As a matter of fact, in John 5, verse 30, he says, I myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judge is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I didn't come to do my own will. In John 6, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In Matthew 7, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father. In Matthew 12, he says, For whoever does the will of the Father, he is my brother and sister and mother. Matter of fact, in John 15, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Seeing being led means I am not the leader. I'm not the one that determines the direction. someone else's. That's Jesus' life. He said, I didn't come to lead myself. I just follow the Father. It's like my friend Rickard Botha says, ask this question, is Jesus your boss? Is he your king? Are you following him? Have you surrendered everything and made him your king? The one who has absolute dominion arising from ownership. The one who has absolute authority. Have you truly bowed your knee and made him king? Surrendered your life? And are you following him? Or is it still about you? Because you can never be in step with the Spirit unless you have made him king. Unless you surrendered your life and you understand that it's an exchange. He gave his life to redeem mine. And in response, I need to give him mine. That's the response. That's repentance. Turning 180 degrees away from the way I used to. By surrendering my life to someone who bought it. It does not belong to myself. It belongs to him. He paid the price for it. So I willingly lay it down and now I follow him. I follow his way, not the world's way. I follow his thoughts, not the world's thoughts. And we know Isaiah 55, God says, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your ways and your thoughts. As the heaven, as a matter of fact, is higher than the earth, so is my ways and thoughts higher than yours. And just like rain comes down and brings life to it, so does my word. My word comes down from heaven and bridges the gap and shows you the way so that whoever embraces it with meekness and humility, it will not return void but accomplish its purpose that brings forth life. But unless you accept it, unless you align yourself with it, unless you live according to it, you will never have the fruit that it promises. This Bible and the promises in it does not work unless you surrender your life to Jesus as King and follow him explicitly. Then these things don't work. But if you make him king, if you surrender your life, and look, it's difficult to follow what Jesus said. It was meant to be like that because he is not of the world. He came into the world as light, into the darkness, and darkness could not overcome it. He came here to show us the way that is not the way of the world. As a matter of fact, when Jesus prays for his disciples, he says the world will hate them because I've given them your word. I've given them your word and the world hates them because I've given them their word because they are not of the world just as I'm not of the world. Because I'm doing your will and they're doing yours and therefore the world hates them because of that. If you follow Jesus, you are going to be different to the world. Make a peace with it. As a matter of fact, Jesus promised us. They said, they will persecute you. They will hate you. So stop trying to be like the world to win the world. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. We're meant to be different. As a matter of fact, we're meant to be witnesses. Witnesses are two things. The way I live my life and that what I share concerning the reason why I live my life. The way I live my life. Being witnesses is living according to the word of God in this world so that the world can clearly see the difference. And then the world will ask you, why are you so different? So easy to evangelize. Then you tell them why. Because God loves me. He sent his son, not just for me, but also for you. And you can have life. But it's not in this world. It's not in the love of this world and the things in this world because the love of the Father is not there. It's here. So being a witness means to live this word in this world in such a way that people may see. And then to share the gospel, the reason why you are different. The reason why God loves. The reason why God sent his son. That's what we're meant to become. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Some translations say fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia, which we know so well, that we may have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, communion with him. We're going to partake of communion so powerfully just now. Communion means Koinonia means to be in partnership with. To have a relationship based on a common purpose. God calls us to be in fellowship with him. Part of that fellowship is to be in step with His purpose, to be in partnership with His plan, which is not my plan. One of the other things God asked me while I was preparing the sermon on hearing God's voice is, why do you want to hear my voice? Do we always ask God and seek Him for our context, our needs, our plans, our desires? When last, if you just asked me, what is your heart? What is your desire? Apart from my own. Do I always have to be the center of everything? Or is it really about me? I mean, the Lord's Prayer is so powerful when we read it. It gives us the priority. It starts off not with I. It starts about your name be hallowed. Your name be held in great esteem. God, help me to live my life in such a way that I will bring honor to your name. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And after that, we speak about me. God, give me my daily bread. Deliver me, forgive me. No, there's no me in the Lord's Prayer. There's us. I've realized I'm not even in that prayer. It starts with God and it ends, for yours are the glory, the power, and the kingdom forever. It starts with you, it ends with you, and in the middle, I'm not even in it in the middle. It's the greater plan. It's the greater purpose. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand, but I'm not saying that we cannot ask God for our own needs and our own desires. He's a good Father. He wants to. He loves us. He knows us. He says, come to me with all your desires, with all your fears. He's a good Father, but we've made it the center of everything that we do with God. It's all about me. And God loves you. He loves me. But life is not about me. I am not the center of the universe. God is. I am only the creation. I'm not the creator. And the amazing thing is, even though in light of eternity, I am nothing. Like David says, I'm a vapor. I'm a turning shadow. What is man that you are mindful of him? And yet you care. Yet you are interested. And so God loves us, but His desire for us is to be part of His plan, which is far greater than me. And it's in being in step with Him that I find fulfillment, that I find joy, and that I find an inheritance, and with that, a reward for eternity. But you will not be rewarded for being the best accountant. You will not be rewarded for being the best doctor or the most wealthiest man or whatever. If Bill Gates is not saved, he will not get into heaven. And even if he does, he will not hear, well done, you were the wealthiest guy. You will not hear that. No, it's not about that. And so God calls us to something greater. Pours His Spirit into us to empower us to be part of it. We don't even need to do it in our own strength. It's the amazing thing. We just need to surrender and say, okay, I'm going to align myself with you. Help me. Teach me. Show me. That's why the Spirit came. I've discovered that living by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit are two different things. God has a plan and a purpose, and He's moving. And He's made that direction very clear. And if you want to keep in step with that plan, that purpose, you need to move in the same direction. And the challenging thing is, if you want to move where God is moving, it will not be possible unless you've made Him king. Unless you've come to the point where you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Because Jesus has a tendency to always go 180 degrees to where the world is going. It's just, I guess, it's because He's not of this world. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be a stranger in this world. You're not going to fit into this world. Not only you're not going to be fit into this world, Jesus said they will persecute you. They will hate you. Because you're going to be everything that is opposite to what they say, what they believe, what they live for. That's it. And the only way you're going to get there is if you truly surrender your life. Die to yourself, what you want. Pay the price of following Jesus and then following Him. The amazing thing is, in that, you will gain so much more than what you could ever have gotten in this world. Not just for eternity, but even in this life. You will gain peace. You will gain life. You will gain God. It will not just be the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. If you read it further, if you do everything that I have commanded you, the God of peace will be with you. I know the peace of God, but you know what? It's far greater to have the God of peace than the peace of God. If you have the God of peace, you have both anyway. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to come in step with someone else, something greater than yourself. I've discovered Matthew 6 verse 33 is true. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that you need will be added to you. It's true. It doesn't happen instantly. God's promises doesn't happen instantly. It requires faith and endurance. That's the story of our father of faith, Abram. God promised him to go somewhere that he didn't know, he didn't see, to leave everything that he did know and see, to go to a country that he didn't know. And Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he did not just believe God, he acted on his faith, and he left everything and went somewhere. And then God promised him a son. And you know what? That son, like Desiree said, God's word doesn't always happen instantly. No, God promised him a son, and he had to wait 25 years. He had to learn that faith requires not just obedience to the word of God, but endurance, patience until the end. And his faith got tested. And then ultimately that faith changed him. It changed him, and God gave him a different name. And in the end of his life, he was no longer looking for something in this life. Because it says in Hebrews 11, he walked through that land that was promised to him, and in his entire life, he didn't inherit a footsole. He inherited nothing. But he was not looking for a city on earth or something on earth. He was looking for something greater in heaven. And because if he was looking for something here, the word said he would have gone back to the country that he came from, but he didn't. He was changed in his faith, and he was looking for something greater, and therefore God is not ashamed to call him his God and give him the city that he longed for in heaven. You see, as you walk in this journey, you will be changed. And it will no longer be about you. It will be about him. And God says, But seek me first, and I will give you I know what you need. I have discovered John 15, 9-11 is so true. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And then this powerful words, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Everything that I thought I left behind and sacrificed, I've gotten back so much more. And I didn't do it for what I could get here. But I have peace, I have joy, I have confidence that I'm part of something greater that will lead to inheritance that will last forever. And God is a good God on the way. He blesses me anyway, but that's not what it's about. So this morning, I believe God is inviting us not just to live by the Spirit, but to be part of something greater. Not just to live for ourselves, but to live for Him. For His plan and His purpose. And the amazing thing is that means it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. You can be part of His plan. What is His plan? Well, it's the final instruction, isn't it? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. God's plan is to get more people saved, discipled, part of the army, marching together until He returns, a victorious church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. God's plan starts here on a Sunday when we come together as believers. That's God's heart. The moment you get saved, God doesn't want you to be alone. He wants you to be part of a body of fellow believers, exercising, living your gifts together. Different as we are, God made us different, eyes, nose, ears. He loves diversity, but He doesn't want just us to come together. He wants us to function together. It's His kingdom, going somewhere with the same mind, the same heart, the same purpose. Wherever you go, as you are going, literally in Greek, as you are going, make disciples, living as a witness through the way you follow me and the way you share about me. Draw people into the kingdom. Invite your colleagues, your friends, your strangers, like in the gym. Just go, boss. That's the plan. You don't need to resign. You don't need to change your career. You don't need to do anything. As a matter of fact, you are where you are so that you can reach people that I cannot reach being in church full time. I only spend my whole days with Christians. That's all I meet. My staff, the people I work with, when they have an issue, I tell them, pray about it. They pray about it and they get sorted. They don't swear or flow. You know, it's like when I'm in a conversation next to the fire and they ask me, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. The conversation changes. I can't reach the people you do. Being full-time in ministry is not being in step with the Holy Spirit. It's not what it's about. It's about living your life in the world as light, as salt. Being a witness in the way you follow Jesus, being so different that the world will come to you and say, why are you so different? And when they ask you, you tell them why. And you invite them to small group, you invite them to church. You share the gospel. That's the plan of God. That's the big picture. God wants us to make disciples of all nations. He wants us to multiply and be fruitful. That's Genesis when He created man uniquely in His image and likeness. He says, I want you to multiply and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then we sinned and our nature got corrupted through sin. And then God sent His Son to redeem us so that we become born again, a new creation filled with the Spirit in the image and likeness of God. And then He says, go into the world and make more of yourself. Make disciples. And yes, we do not know how to do it. That's the point. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to His disciples, He said, before you do anything, wait. Wait for the promise, Holy Spirit, because when He comes, He will empower you to be witnesses. And then you go. And they were afraid and hiding away. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were all of a sudden these bold men who were willing to die for their faith. And they all did except John. And they stood up powerfully and shared the gospel. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. It's to empower us to be witnesses. And yes, we do not know what to do and how to do it, but we have the helper, the comforter alongside us, and we can ask Him. We can have a relationship with Him and say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, teach me what it means to be in step with You, to be part of this plan. Show me every day, Lord. Teach me the way You see. Jesus says when he was tired and He sat at that well, you know, and His disciples saw that He was tired and said, Jesus, just sit here. Please rest while we go get you some food. And while He was sitting there, there comes a woman with a pot on a jar on her head. And He has this conversation with her and she gets saved. She goes back, shares a testimony, and the whole town comes to Jesus. And in the meantime, the disciples were too afraid to ask Him. And they were debating, you know, what did somebody give Him food? Why is He so full of energy? And Jesus said, I have food that you do not know of. My food is to do the will of my Father and to finish His work. Do you not say 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I say to you, look up, it's already white. The saying is 4 months. It takes 4 months, this process, to plow, to sow, to water, to let it grow, and then finally comes down. Rome wasn't built in a day. Yes, but I say to you, look up. It's already white. If you leave the harvest any longer, it's going to rot. So Lord, help me to see, because I do not see what you see. I do not see when I walk down my streets the way you see. I do not see this white harvest. And therefore, I am hesitant to share the gospel. I'm hesitant to go to the person that looks funny with the long hair. But you say it's white. So Lord, help me to see. Teach me to sow, to reap. Help me to see the way you see. God, I am here. Help me, show me, empower me. May that be our prayer every day. God, your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come, your will be done. First. Then for us, Lord, give what we need. Lord, deliver us, forgive us. But be to you be the power, the glory, and the kingdom forever. May that become our prayer. And I can guarantee in my own life, the more I'm starting to pray about His kingdom and His will, He looks after mine. I don't need to worry about that. And again, you don't need to change your career. You don't need to do that. You can just be a witness. Follow the word. Live the word. Live it with boldness, that people will have to ask you, why are you so different? And share it. Let me going to stop there. I'm going to ask the ushers if you could hand out for us the elements. We're going to participate in koinonia, communion, fellowship. Fellowship with one another and fellowship with Jesus. It's a powerful thing that we do in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. It reminds us not just of what He's done for us, but the reason He did what He did for us. And it reminds us for the purpose, the greater purpose. Because Jesus didn't come to die for the 12 men. He did not. But I want you to remember this. And I want you to do it together. Because that's what fellowship is. Having that common purpose together. With me, and with each other. And I want us to partake of communion as we wait for one another. I want us to wait for one another before we eat and before we drink. But I want us just to take a moment. I want us just to just close our eyes as you received the different elements. And I want us just to respond in our own hearts, in our own words to God. What the Holy Spirit spoke to you. What stood out for you this morning. What do you believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you? I want us just to close our eyes as just reflect on what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, and in your own words to respond to Him. All over the world, the Spirit is moving, just like the prophet said it would be. God, I pray that you'll help us to move with you. Lord, you say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We must ask you for more laborers. The harvest is ready because you've already paid for it. You're the one that declares the seasons. And now is the seasons for us Gentiles to come in. It's the dispensation that we live in. The dispensation of grace, a dispensation of the harvest to come in until it is finished, until it is full, so that you can return. Lord, you are working. Like you said to the Pharisees, my Father has been working from the beginning until now, and so I've been working. Lord, I pray that we will come in step with you, and that we too will be working. Father, we thank you for sending your Son that we may be saved. Not by through the law, but by grace through faith. Thank you that you became sin for us. That was your plan from the beginning. That you became sin for us. And you paid the price that we could not pay. You took upon the wrath of your Father so that we can be free. Lord, we will not forget the cost as we eat together. Thank you, God, that we know it was part of the plan. That we may be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for this privilege, Lord, that we can put our faith in it today and know for sure we belong to you. We have life because of your death and your resurrection. We thank you for this, God. So we drink together. Lord, we do so in fellowship with one another, in our common faith and our love and our life that we have because of you. God, I pray it will also be today as we commit ourselves to the greater plan. That we can too also stand one day with you, but be rewarded for that share we have. God, I pray for each one of us here. Maybe you're here this morning and while we're all praying, you've never come to that point yet where you've surrendered your life to a king, where you've given everything. I want to encourage you this morning, if that is you, if you've not come to that point, it's the only way to life. Not just eternal life, but life here. If you want to make him king this morning, I want you just to respond while all the eyes are closed, just by raising your hand. So I want to give you my life. I want to respond to your love, God. I want to give you everything. If that is you this morning, just raise your hand to God. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? You can drop it again. Thank you for that. Maybe you're here this morning and you have life because of the Spirit, but you know you're not in step with Him. But you have a desire to be. If that is you, just raise your hand in response to Him. Say, God, I want to be in step with you, Lord. I want to move from this life to your life. From these plans that I make to your plans. Lord, I want to align everything that I do with you. Because I believe in you. And I believe in your plan. I want to ask if that is you, if you've raised your hand, or you want to respond to that, I want to ask you to take a step of faith, because it's always going to be like that. And I'll ask you to come forward, and I want to pray a blessing over you. So if you have a desire to take that step, to be in step, just say, God, here's my life. I want to surrender what I do to you. I'm just a plumber. I'm just an accountant. I'm a teacher. I look after my kids at home. God, I am unemployed. From this day on, God, I want to plumb for you. I want to count money for you. I want to advise. I want to lead. I want to teach for you, God. I want to be part of your plan, Lord, in where you called me to be. In every aspect of society, of life, you have sown your people strategically everywhere. And Lord, I pray for these who are responding to you today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will make them light. Lord, that they will be a lamp on the lampstand. They will come out under their baskets and they will be clearly seen. Oh God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to them every day when they open your word, Lord, that you will show them what it means to have faith and life in you, and that they will align themselves to your word, Lord, that they will follow you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will open doors for them, Lord, to live in such a way that the world may see God. I pray that you will open doors for them, Lord, where people may see you and that they will have the opportunity to share as people ask them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will make them sensitive, Lord, to hear your voice, to hear you speak, your guidance, Lord. I pray that you'll open their eyes to see what you are doing in the lives of the people around them, Lord. Even when they order something at the restaurant or fill in their car with petrol, Lord, that you will show them what you are doing, that you will make them sensitive, Lord. I pray that you will give them the confidence and the faith to share what they see and hear. So, Lord, I just pray a blessing upon them, Lord. I pray that you will send them, that you will use them, Lord, that you will anoint them, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless them with the ability to see the fruit of the seed that they have sown, Lord, that they will see your kingdom come, Lord, in the lives of people around them, Lord. Will they see, Lord, eyes open, Lord, and ears hear, Lord, sick healed, Lord, and even the dead recover. Lord, I pray that you will bless them, Lord. Bless them with life, Lord. Bless them with your kingdom, Lord. Bless them with a hunger and a thirst for nothing but you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will reveal more and more of yourself, Lord, that the word will become alive, Lord, as they read it, Lord, as they see it, Lord, clearly before them, Lord. Lord, I pray that they will see themselves with you in the harvest. Every day they wake up, Lord, every day they ask you, Father. I pray, Father, that you will come. Holy Spirit, that you will reveal yourself to them. Lord, I pray for workplaces to change, Lord, people to come to know you, Father. I pray, Lord, for your church to grow all over the city, Lord, not just this church, but every church, Lord, as they will not just inspire, Lord, those in this place, but even others, Lord, that they will inspire other Christians, Lord, to step out in faith, Lord, into the harvest, Father. I pray, Father, that they will dream about it, that they will see it, Lord, that they will smell like the harvest, Lord, that they'll find their joy in seeing it come in into the fullness that you have promised. Lord, I just pray for your grace. I pray for your mercy. Lord, I pray that you will not take them out of this world, but that you will protect them from the evil one. Pray that you will make them bold in their faith. And I thank you for the harvest that will come because of them. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, that we may live Christ to the full for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.